everyone, and welcome back to Weird World Adventures, the podcast. I'm your host, Mallory Mackey, and today we are going to talk about the fourth episode of the Weird World Adventures TV show, which you can now watch on both Amazon Prime and Tubi. So this is the fourth episode of Weird World Adventures, and I wanted it to cover something that had been a major part of my past, and that was the idea of metaphysical topics. And weirdly enough, growing up in Richmond, Virginia, there are quite a few places you can go to learn about metaphysics and spirituality and things of that nature. As mentioned in several episodes now, the Monroe Institute is in Faber, Virginia, and I had no idea it was there until much later. And then there's also Edgar Cayce's Association of Research and Enlightenment. And Edgar Cayce was the most documented psychic of all time. He's probably one of the most, if not the most, famous. He moved out into Virginia Beach because of the sea, thinking that that had some metaphysical properties in it. So we also went to Edgar Cayce's association there in Virginia Beach. But first, we started this episode. Actually, it's funny because it's presented in a way that's very out of order to how we shot it, because we shot it in a way that would make the most practical sense for us getting around, but then it was kind of moved around to be told in a way that made better sense for the story. So it starts with us at Mount Trashmore, which is actually just a giant pile of trash. It was an old dump pile that, you know, was actually turned over into a park. And some people say that when it gets really warm outside in the summer, sometimes it kind of is smelly. I don't know about that, but I used to play there a lot as a child. It's just this big, expansive, like, park with a lake and a giant hill. And the giant hill used to be a dump. And, of course, knowing all that, I'm like, well, we have to feature Mount Trashmore. It's a huge part of what made me the weirdo I am today, and it's there, and we're going to be in Virginia Beach, so we're going to feature it. So that was part of it. But I believe this whole episode actually almost went in reverse order. It started with me and Elizabeth and Matt Pavlo. And so Elizabeth Saint is our other producer. She was the one that ran Vidi Space. And at this point, she actually filmed these next three episodes with me and Matt Pavlo. And actually, so I can say that before I really get into this episode. Episodes 4, 5, and 6 were all filmed together. Over the course of 3 days, me, Matt, and Elizabeth hopped in a car and again took a giant road trip through Virginia and down into North Carolina. And it was an impactful and wild and bizarre few days, and I just loved it. We covered all kinds of weird things you could possibly imagine, and it's still one of the most fondest memories I have to date, getting to think back about filming these three episodes of my show and just how much fun it was. And if nothing else came from it, I at least had that memory to hold on to forever. And we actually started with the psychic workshop that is conducted in this episode, which was in Virginia, and then went to Belle Isle. And then from there, I believe, went to Mount Trashmore because we spent the night in Virginia Beach, and then went to the 3D mini golf late that night, woke up the next morning and featured Edgar Cayce's Association for Research and Enlightenment, and then continued down all the way to North Carolina for the next episodes. But I think the way it's actually presented here is Mount Trashmore, the ARE, and then the psychic workshop, and it ends at Belle Isle. So we actually kind of really played along with the order here to just potentially tell the story in a better way. Now, Edgar Cayce's Association for Research and Enlightenment is really, it's a fascinating place. It's somewhere that I grew up going to. I used to go to the beach every few months when I was in college, and I would always stop there. They have a really nice, like, bookstore where they also sell crystals and, you know, cool little metaphysical knickknacks and things. And I first of all, I just love bookstores. I could live in a bookstore or a library. But this takes it to another level for me. Whenever I love going into spiritual bookstores, because I feel like there's always a book that I'm looking for that I can't find. There is something out there that I have to know, and it's in one of those books, but I can never find the right book. So I kind of have to go and read every single book title and just glance through to see if anything resonates with me. Like, is this the book that I really need to read? And I know that sounds bizarre, but that has just always been my MO going into these metaphysical stores. And the ARE also has a library on the second floor, so I could be lost there all day, really, if you think about it. Like, I could start in the store and then move my way over to the library, and I'm just constantly on the hunt for these metaphysical books that are calling to me, or these books in general that are calling to me, because there's something there I haven't yet discovered. And I think maybe a lot of this has to go with the fact that I'm looking into the idea of potentially studying neuroscience now. I think that there is so much more with the idea of consciousness that we don't understand. There is no global definition or unified definition for the idea of consciousness. And I think that there is some greater global consciousness, which I'm sure I've brought up here before, that we haven't defined yet. So that kind of taps into a lot of that. I feel like sometimes I'm really searching in a lot of the metaphysical areas for very scientific concepts. And it just kind of falls in between the idea of neuroscience and some of the spirituality, which is just a bizarre crisscross of things that don't actually make a lot of sense together. However, something like the Monroe Institute has always spoken to me because it does combine the ideas of altered states of awareness, of meditation, of this spirituality, and it combines it with scientific research. And there's something there that I just want to continue to discover. And so my fascination with places like the Monroe Institute and the ARE have always been there. So that's kind of probably why I was at the Association for Research and Enlightenment a lot. There's also a meditation room up on the third floor, which I used to go to a lot as a child and just meditate up there. It's a place that I would go and find peace. And I used to, when I was meditating up there, just have this constant daydream visualization, whatever you want to call it, of dancing in the Gardens of Babylon. I've always been fascinated by the Hanging Gardens, and that was something that I used to meditate on, just that brought me joy when I would go to Edgar Cayce's Association for Research and Enlightenment. And we actually conducted an interview with Peter Woodbury up in the meditation room. And it's funny because you're not supposed to talk up there. So I felt like we were doing something wrong because we were conducting an interview up there in that room and we were talking. But luckily no one was there, so it was fine. But Peter Woodbury is a past life regressionist. He does past life regression therapy. This is something that has just fascinated me for a long time, just hearing him speak about this. He defined the concepts of New Age very well for me. So the term New Age is kind of laughable to me. I don't know, like what is New Age, right? Like when you go to the bookstore, when you went to the bookstore when I was a kid, like Barnes & Noble, for instance, and you go over to the weird stuff section, which has all the ghost and the, you know, intuition and the dream analysis and any of those, you know, more, you know, not mainstream topics, they would classify it all as New Age. And it's funny because now when you go to Barnes & Noble and you look, they've changed it to self-transformation. And I'm like, but hold on, like ghosts aren't self-transformation. I guess you transform into a ghost after you die, but that doesn't really fit in self-transformation. And witchcraft is self-transformation. And like it just, the new definition there really needs work because they're just trying to say, oh, non-mainstream ideas, but that it's self-transformation is not exactly the right move, I think. And I don't think New Age was offensive, but it does make you wonder why that was changed and what didn't fit in with the idea of New Age anymore. And maybe it's the fact that we're just lumping all of these you know, non-mainstream religions, non-mainstream ideas together into one place because, well, it's, you know, it's not Christianity, so here you go. And then always, I mean, it just, anyway, it's a whole other topic. It's very fascinating to me. But why New Age, right? And Peter Woodbury actually said, well, if there's a New Age, there had to be an Old Age, right? And the Old Age was when people would go to prophets, would go to, you know, these legendary figures like Jesus, like Buddha. You would go to these larger-than-life characters to have some kind of mystical experience for you. You were going to others, to priests, to have this experience for you because the spiritual world was not accessible to you. And the New Age was kind of the search and thought and enlightenment that all of these things are accessible to you. You can change your state of consciousness. You can go into a deeper meditation. You can access the same things that these people are accessing, but through yourself. So it became more personal, which is interesting. So he kind of had that topic that he talked about, and I thought that was interesting because I had never heard it stated that way before, and it was the first time the label of New Age kind of made sense to me. And it's also why I believe that relabeling it as self-transformation is kind of silly. And there's got to be something else. Or maybe we don't lump in all of these non-mainstream religions and belief systems together in one area, because that's the part that would be offensive, not the labeling it as New Age. He also gave a really fun story about how he exorcised a demon one time. So you definitely want to watch this episode if you haven't watched it yet, because the way his just expression and the way that he is telling the story and the stress in his body as he talks about it, it's pretty wonderful. So I would definitely tune into that. Also, who doesn't want to hear someone talk about past life regression? It's weird, and I love it. Then we went and talked to Jessica, who was the archivist to the Edgar Cayce Foundation. And I am all for looking at historical documents all day long. They have this amazing archive where the documents are perfectly preserved and sealed and have kind of been being cleaned up and reorganized and put away in their safe there in their archive. And we got to like go in, and she like opened the walls and was showing us the different parts of it. And that was very, very cool in my opinion. She kind of reminded me a little bit of Evie O'Connell from The Mummy, which if you don't know, Evie is my spirit animal. I love her so much. So that was definitely a compliment for you, Jessica. And, you know, we asked her at one point, like, if there was anything profound that happened while she was working on, you know, basically, you know, cleaning up and going through all of the archives. And she actually found some readings that weren't accounted for and was able to log them in like the database. And for her, she's like, just the way her face lit up when she remembered that and talked about it was really a magical experience. I am all for it, because I mean, it was just wonderful. I mean, the fact that, you know, she was able to find and recover these documents and was so excited about it and was ready to share it with us. It was just a very special moment, honestly. They, like, aside from all of Edgar Cayce's readings, because he had many, 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 many readings that are all archived and put away there. There was also magazines from the 40s, from the 50s, footage from a dig they took to Egypt in the 20s. Just an amazing array of historical items. So it was really a cool thing to get to experience there. And ARE also has this, like, cool bamboo forest that we got to kind of play around in a little bit and take some time to, you know, just relax and walk through. And that was pretty cool. And then we continued on. And so chronologically, not the way it appears in the episode, but the way that we actually shot it, before we went to the 3D mini golf, we had stopped to get dinner because I think we had left from Mount Trashmore, and we went to Arby's. And I will never forget, this was just, I think Arby's and Starbucks, because we always, again, we always get our Starbucks when we are traveling for Weird World Adventures. That's just my normal mode of operation. Starbucks does not sponsor me, but I hope they will one day. And we literally pull up to Arby's, and Elizabeth was vegan. I don't know if she still is, but she was vegan at the time. And me and Matt were not. And I think the whole experience was just lovely. Where we pull up and she wasn't going to order the Arby's because she didn't want Arby's. So instead of like stopping at her, she stopped at Matt because he was in the back seat. And I don't think he expected that. And then there was just this array of confusion where the person at Arby's says, "Can I help you?" And he's like, "Well, gosh, I sure hope you can." Or I wish I remember exactly what was said, but it was something that was so bizarre and shell-shocked and out of place that we were all just kind of like, what just happened here? I mean, it was like, "Gosh, I sure hope you can. I don't know. And it was, I mean, and honestly, retelling it, it's not even that funny, but in that moment when you haven't slept and you don't really know what's happening anymore, it was a pretty hysterical thing that we lived through in that moment. And we got our Arby's, and which also does not sponsor me. I just like Arby's. And then we went to the 3D mini golf. So I have a story to tell you about this 3D mini golf. I used to go to Virginia Beach every 3 months, pretty much on cue, and spend the weekend there throughout college. And I would get a massage at the ARE because they do also have a health center, which I don't even think I've said yet. And I would, you know, spend some time there. There was a heritage store, which also had some cool books and spiritual topics and things. And then I would always have to go to this 3D mini golf. And at the time, it was this building that was like by the water. And the 3D mini golf was upstairs above a haunted house. So it was a strange setting across the board. So we'd go in and go up past the haunted house and go into this 3D mini golf experience. And it was unlike anything I had ever seen in my life. I have always been an artist. I mean, it's not something that I like professionally pursued, but I've been painting since I was very young. And it was always like, you know, a nice outlet for the creative side of myself. So the artist in me really appreciated this concept. I mean, this guy basically made it was, I think it was only even like 9 holes. It was not a full 18-hole mini golf course, but it didn't matter because it was this bizarre glow-in-the-dark 3D black light mini golf experience. And I was not on any drugs. I wasn't drinking. It was just cool. And I remember just the detail in what they did for the art just blew my mind. And I always had to go back there. And it's hard to play mini golf in a 3D blacklight environment. But it was more just about the ambiance and how wild the art was. I mean, it was, I wish you could experience it because there's no way to describe it other than saying you really just have to experience it for yourself. And that was like my favorite thing to do. And one year I came back to Virginia Beach and went to go to the mini golf and the whole building was demolished. And I was like, no, what am I going to do without my 3D mini golf? And we found out a few months later, and then I think the next time I came, that it had reopened down like further from the shore. And I went to the 3D mini golf in the new setting, and it was definitely cool, but it wasn't quite the same. Like it was the level of artistic talent, and it was the same artist, he told us, that redid it, but like the level of just what I loved about the artistic talent, it just didn't translate to the new building in the same way. And it's still cool, but it just wasn't quite the same. And so we featured this mini golf for Weird World Adventures, which I was really excited about because it was so personal to me. And the first thing he does when we go in, he's like, well, we got really high when we painted this. And I was like, oh, okay, well, I guess that makes sense. I had never really taken it to that level, but yeah, okay, that checks out. And he did say that after the building was demolished from the other place, like, they had very short time to, like, transition and repaint it. So we got the same guys to come and repaint it, and they took some pieces from the old place and brought it in. And it's funny because I can actually tell which place, like, which pieces came from the old place, because they're kind of just painted and presented in a different way that resonated better with me. But it was still really cool. I mean, the whole experience is something you have to see for yourself. And I'm definitely not like downplaying the new building. It's really exceptional, and you should definitely check it out. And we did. Like, we had a great time that night and filmed that short little segment there, and then moved on to the hotel for the night and crashed, and then started the next day fresh going to North Carolina. Now, so in the show next, we do the psychic workshop. And this is really funny because the intro I filmed to the psychic workshop, we just didn't have time to film on the day of the workshop itself because we were accountable for so many people that were coming in to participate. So the opener that I filmed there is actually it's the very last thing we filmed at all for this season of Weird World Adventures. It was like the last thing we did before having dinner on the last day and saying, okay, we're good now, we're going home. And I look exhausted. I definitely look way more exhausted, and I'm definitely having a harder time finding my words because it was the last thing that we did instead of, you know, one of the first. And it's actually in North Carolina where we filmed that, and not at all in Virginia, anywhere near the psychic workshop. Now, the psychic workshop it was a really wild and cool experience. And really, I say psychic workshop, but it's really more about teaching you to listen to your intuition and your gut and using that ability to help guide you in your life and, you know, connecting to your own personal guidance. And we brought in Elizabeth, obviously, for this, and I really wanted her specifically to participate in this because Elizabeth used to be on a lot of these spiritual shows. A lot, you know, Ghost of Shepperton and Paranormal Lockdown. And she would tell me about a lot of these personal experiences she would have kind of with ghosts in the spiritual realm. So I wanted to place her in this environment where, you know, people are learning to harness their intuition and seeing how they perceive stimuli around them. And I wanted to see how she responded to it. And she was so impressive. I mean, it was wild. The things that she was able to perceive and experience, like we specifically, you know, had a camera close to her while she was going through the workshop. And I think Matt Pavlo had to go to the bathroom or make a call or something, but he had to step out. So I took his camera for a part of this workshop. And it was specifically a moment where she starts perceiving this information about this woman, Lori's brother. And, you know, the things that she said were just spot on. And I was lucky enough to be filming it at that moment to be like, oh, well, we're going to use this. So I knew exactly what I wanted to grab from and where, luckily, because I was the one holding the camera when that was filmed, which is really neat. And then the other people involved in this workshop were my dad, one of my instructors from college, Lori, who did, was one of my acting teachers, and then Glenn Brannon, who was also one of my teachers at Theater VCU, except she taught me art, and then one of my childhood friends. And so it was, and then there's a family friend there. So it was a nice array of people in our lives because it was COVID. We wanted to be careful about screening, you know, who we brought in and making sure everybody was vaccinated and all the right protocols and things were in place. So everyone got their own lunch boxes that were like separately, you know, put together. And there was a lot of care that went into bringing people together in a group during COVID. It was actually you know, a complication I wanted to take seriously, because this was like near the end of 2020, but it was obviously still an ordeal and everyone had their masks on and, you know, bringing all these people together because some of them were high risk too, was just an extra thing to think about, an extra planning, a nice thing to, you know, put care into. And I was pretty proud of those lunch boxes that I put together. And there's a painting in the background of most of the workshop, by the way. It's of dogs. And if you see it when you're watching, I painted that back in high school. That was one of my paintings. And so here, some of the stuff that was gone through was perceiving readings from pictures and remote viewing. And we definitely featured several of these, but I'm just now watching through and I'm seeing the part where Elizabeth was like perceiving what happened to Lori's brother. And I mean, just this moment, I mean, I captured this. Like it was wild. It was genuine. Lori's reaction, she was so floored. You definitely have to see it if you haven't watched it yet, because it was a real, like, genuine moment that I did not expect that Elizabeth, like, you know, other people, sometimes these exercises are hit or miss. Like, you say the wrong things, you don't really know, it doesn't resonate with you. Everything really resonated with Elizabeth. She was very open to perceiving things, and it was really kind of exciting to get to watch her do that. And one of my favorite things was at the end of this, Danita, Mrs. King, came over to me and was like, does Elizabeth know that she's a medium? And she was kind of like, you know, I'm like, I don't know. I guess we can ask her. And Elizabeth's like, well, I mean, yeah, I've worked on enough ghost shows to know that I'm definitely accessing something else that's going on there. And then, let's see, we end our episode at Belle Isle, which is one of my favorite places in the world to go to. I grew up in Richmond, Virginia, so this was kind of like a place I went to as a kid. It's rock formations in the James River, and at Belle Isle, you know, it's the island like in the center of the James River. You can kind of go out and walk on all of these rocks around the water, get around. There's some old abandoned buildings. But I like to sit out in the rocks sometimes and have a nice lunch and hop around. And oh, yeah. So I'm used to this. I can throw off my shoes and just go for days. So Elizabeth was following me one of the ways, or she didn't want to do a jump that I did, and she tried to go a different way, and we just hear this whoosh, and she fell in the water. So we're filming, and she just, you know, down in the water, and she's like, I can't believe this just happened, and she has a mic on her back, and we're like, well, shit. And then she continues to try to move forward, and yet falls again. So she was just like, covered, you know, head to toe in water at this point, super, super wet and kind of slimy and dirty. And then she's taking off her shoes and water is just pouring out of them. And I was like, you know, sorry. This was the first thing we filmed, by the way, for this whole weekend. So we had to basically like get her new shoes. And like, she had to change before we did the next thing. I'm like, I'm so sorry. It just immediately started with her falling in the water. And then on the way out of Belle Isle, Matt Pavlo then also misses a step and falls in the water. But luckily, his was just like a foot. But then she's like, well, I feel like we need to go to a shoe store because we both just wound up in the water. And I will say, it was in a way amusing that both other people that I was filming with wound up in the water at Belle Isle, and I was fine, but yeah, they both fell in. So we wound up after the workshop this night, before we went over into Virginia Beach, we wound up at the shoe carnival and we were walking around looking for shoes, and Pavlo, like his shoes didn't dry or something. So he was shoeless. So he was walking around in his socks, I think his wet socks. at the shoe carnival, and I have footage of this because it was like, what is happening? And we had to get new shoes. So 2 out of 3 people wound up replacing their shoes after that Belle Isle segment, which is pretty amusing. And that ended episode 4 of Weird World Adventures, all about metaphysical topics, things that I love to discuss, things I'm sure you've heard before many times on this podcast. And the next episode, actually the next 2 episodes of Weird World Adventures, please watch them and come along with me. And episodes 5 and 6, they both had more of a ghost tone since I had Elizabeth with me and she was a professional paranormal investigator. How could we not conduct paranormal investigations? So that's going to be the next 2 episodes of Mallory's Weird World Adventures. I hope you tune in to both the show on Amazon Prime and Tubi and the accompanying podcast here. And that will release in a week from now, next week. So until then, stay weird.